And now to take us into our talk, I have a music video that's on topic.
The sun.
You enjoyed the video. When I was rummaging through things, I just thought it was so much on tune with what we're going to be doing and talking about today. So, you know that experience that after something has happened or you've had a conversation with somebody and it's over and you go back in your mind and you think about something you wish you had said? Well, I recall one of those back when I was probably 12 or 13 years old. And my mother said to me, "Michael, take out the garbage." Thinking back to that time, I should have said, I wished I had said, "Okay." But instead I said, "No." And when she asked me, "What do you mean, no?" What came out of my smart aleck mouth was, in case you haven't heard, Lincoln freed the slaves. Trust me, that wasn't a wise move on my part. When I was growing up, there was a very popular phrase that we kids tossed around, "I can do whatever I want, it's a free country." Or, "You could do whatever you want, it's a free country." And sometimes we would amp it up and say things like, "Hey, you want to be stupid? Be stupid. It's a free country." But you know what? It's not. It's not a free country. I don't want to insult anybody's beliefs. And I don't want to throw a wet blanket over anybody's patriotism, anybody's pride in being an American. But if we truly want to be free, we need to take a step back and take a look. How close or how far away are we from the ideals expressed in our Constitution? and our Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And immediately, upon signing that document, there are unwritten contradictory situations in the lives, even by the framers of the Constitution. Those words didn't apply to Native Americans. Those words never applied to Negroes, as people of color were kindly referred to. And I dare say they didn't reply to niggers, as people of color were sometimes disparagingly referred to. Back then, and even to a very real extent today, those words never applied to women. When they wrote that all men were created equal, they really meant men. And I don't want you to think that I'm really coming down hard on our country, because I think that what happened back in the 1700s was really an incredibly powerful, wonderful, beautiful manifestation of God. And we're going to talk about that more. All I'm saying is to bring this home, that there's work to be done. Because our topic today is freedom and the great I am. And as we come together today, on the morning after we celebrated our country's freedom and independence, we're going to try to get our heads around the concept of freedom and its relationship with our own spiritual journeys. And I think it's important to understand that freedom is not an either-or thing. Likewise, a lack of freedom is not an either-or thing. There are layers of freedom, and there are layers to every situation in which freedom looks to be absent or missing. And we're going to get into that a little bit this morning. But before we do, we need to cover another important point. It is also important for us to understand that as much as we may hold that freedom is inherent to our very human existence, something that is a part of us at birth, and everybody wants is to be free, it is the case that submission also is inherent to human existence, and everybody doesn't want to be free. In fact, I will make a very bold statement that all of you, all of us, do not want to be free, at least to some extent. And some of us do an awful lot, everything we can, in fact, to escape freedom. There's a very old but very insightful book by psychoanalyst Erich Fromm that makes this argument. The name of the book is Escape from Freedom. He points out that in addition to submitting to an overt authority, there is also a submission to internalized authorities, such as duty or conscience or guilt or fear. And I remember back in the 70s, when Women's Lib was really in the news, I was part of an informal discussion at school. I was blown away by a comment made by a young woman who probably was only about 20 years old at the time. And she said, "I don't want to be liberated. I just want to be well kept." But when you think about it, there's a certain appeal to a life in which others would be charged with taking care of us. I think we look for this in politicians all of the time. Somebody who will take charge. Vote for so-and-so, he'll get things done. What we really want is to be safe. And so we make these trade-offs. We bargain away our liberty. We sacrifice our freedom by institutionalizing our safety. We do this in our government. We do this in our jobs. And we do this in our relationships. We buy the walls and then buy into the walls that confine us. If you have ever seen and remember the movie Shawshank Redemption, there's a powerful quote that captures what I'm talking about. One of the characters is talking about one of the characters who's a prisoner says this. These walls are kind of funny. First you hate them. Then you get used to them. Enough time passes. Get so you depend upon them. That's institutionalized. They send you here for life. And that's exactly what they take. The part that counts anyways. And always we like to turn to scriptures. And in the story of the Israelites in the Hebrew scriptures, the great I Am sends Moses to deliver a message to the Pharaoh. Let my people go. And the Pharaoh says, nah, I don't think so. But to make a long story short, several plagues and many negotiations later, the Pharaoh finally agrees. And the Israelites are free. Israelites are freed and everybody is happy, right? End of story. Well, not quite. Almost immediately, the Israelites found their newfound freedom a bit burdensome, and they went whining to Moses. Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. I once counseled a woman who was regularly and consistently getting beat up by her husband. Anybody who had heard the facts around this would ask the same question, why didn't she leave? The real truth is, it's not that simple. Her situation had become so institutionalized, so embedded, that the thought of being outside of the relationship became so terrifying. Even more terrifying than knowing that she was going to continue to be physically hurt and knocked around. That leaving was not an option. And maybe never would be. At least not until she could manage some long-term counseling with somebody way more skilled than I was. When I was at Oak Park, I got myself into a bit of hot water with my Independence Day talk. What I said was that all of the slaves were not happy when Lincoln issued his Emancipation Proclamation. They were thrust out into a world not knowing a life other than slavery. Politically, legally, Lincoln's action freed them, but it did not prepare them. It also did not prepare slave owners who for generations did not know how not to be privileged. Slavery had become internalized and psychologically imprisoning for both the slaves and the slave owners. And I believe today, 160 years later, we're still learning. I believe that today, 160 years later, all of us who are having difficulty getting rid of the shackles of inequality. Well, so far today's talk has been much more like a history lesson than a sermon or a spiritual message. What does everything that I've been talking about so far have to do with the great I Am? There's an inseparable connection between freedom and the great I Am. Freedom can never become real to anyone else or to ourselves until we can affirm, I am free. The history books tell us that the colonies won their independence when we won the Revolutionary War. However, the war was only the consequence of the colonists' affirmation of the great I Am, or the great we are. Because the war came in response to the colonists proclaiming to the king and to the world, we are free. It came after a long history of being oppressed, put down, and used by the crown. Historically, it was a revolution not only against England, but also against the entire world order at that time, because the entire world looked at us with great wonder and curiosity. Because part of the great I Am that we were proclaiming included a never before affirmation of a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. I learned once in a talk by Caroline Mace that many of our forefathers believed that they were made incarnate by God for the purpose of establishing this union in the world at that time. They viewed their roles as a spiritual mission whose time had come. Freedom cannot be birthed, and it cannot be maintained outside of the great I Am. The great I Am is the beginning of an affirmation that reflects the reality of God within us. The great I Am is a proclamation of freedom that we choose to exercise every time we live in the moment. The great I Am shouts out liberty when it whispers, Namaste. I recognize the divine in you. The great I Am does not make deals that silences the belief that all life is a manifestation of the presence of God. The great I Am never tolerates slavery and understands that slavery or any kind of system that objectifies human beings denies that we are all made in the image and likeness of God. We as Americans, we treasure our independence, and rightfully so. We as Americans sing out our national anthem and cherish the words, in the land of the free and the home of the brave. We as Americans properly and rightfully honor those who have died in the name of freedom. We as Americans lay claim that we are born free and that freedom is our rightful heritage. We say and we sing these words, and it's a really healthy thing if when we say them and when we sing them, we truly believe them. If that's the case, they become powerful, prayerful affirmations. Not terribly different than what we might affirm when we say that I am a child of God and therefore inherently good. We all do this, and in unity we understand that it's all about the journey. In unity, we all do this, that knowing what we build and manifest and create today may very well become old and not useful tomorrow. But each step along the way, we move forward, motivated to be free and loving. I believe that what we have been witnessing in our nation, in the peaceful protests and demonstrations that have taken place the past several weeks, is an expression of the great I Am. I believe when Patrick Henry proclaimed, "Give me liberty or give me death," it was an expression of the great I Am. I believe when Rosa Parks refused to move to the back of the bus because she was tired, it was an expression of the great I Am. I believe when Colin Kaepernick took a knee during the national anthem, it was an expression of the great I Am. And this one may rock you a bit and give you something to think about. I believe when Adam and Eve took a bite of the forbidden fruit, it was an expression of the great I am. Notwithstanding all of the consequences that would ensue after they took that action. I believe, personally, when I was able to let go of some hurts, some feelings, things that I have felt, and was finally able to forgive others and to forgive myself, I was able to say, I am, with a little bit more conviction. I also believe I became a little bit freer. It is right and proper that we celebrate our independence as a nation, despite the fact that historically maybe we haven't always measured up to our expressed ideals. As is the case with any ritual, the attitude that we hold as we celebrate can be an exercise of hypocrisy, or it could be a powerful prayer, an expression of the great I am. And if we are really going to pray it, we have to embrace it, not only in our personal politics, but in our everyday lives. We cannot truly be the land of the free unless we are willing to peel back the layers and tear down the walls that confine us in our own lives. There are parts of us that are slaves and parts of us that are slave masters. And again, slave masters are no freer than slaves. For us as individuals, the things that chain us down can be broken down when we decide to cut them, to break them, to loosen them, little by little, one at a time. And when we decide that the inner walls that confine us can be torn down, little by little, one at a time, we can make it happen. Ultimately, we gain our freedom by claiming our heritage, that we are made in the image and likeness of God, and live and love accordingly. What happened in our nation in the 18th century truly was revolutionary in so many ways. A voice was given to spiritual concepts on a grandiose political scale in a way that it never happened before. And yes, as a nation, we still have a long way to go and a lot of shortcomings to overcome before we can finally get much, much closer to all of those beautiful, passionate ideals that were expressed in our Declaration of Independence. And it's significant to us on a metaphysical level because our own lives in so many ways parallel that process that took place 200 and some odd years ago. Taking on the mother country of England was no small task. Taking on the things that we have to take on in our own lives to really come to a better place of formula of freedom is no small task. But the great I am is always ready to be expressed, to be spoken, to be affirmed, to be acclaimed. And we have the liberty as a country, we have a liberty as individuals to make that statement, I am, and then complete the sentence any way that we want. And you know what? In going through this process, it's really okay to say occasionally, I am afraid. I am unsure. We just have to keep coming back and affirming, I am the Christ. I am the light. I am peace. I am liberty. I am freedom. With each new I am, let freedom ring. Let's take this to prayer and to meditation.